listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Joyce Meyer, inviting you to join me right here on Enjoying Everyday Life, where I give you easy and practical ways to live a life you truly love.
Joyce Meyer is heard at 7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday here on WCNO.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer at 7 p.m. The church is located at 121 Southwest Kester Drive in Port St. Lucie, just off of Darwin Boulevard. For more information, call 336-3908. Let us be your church home on your way to your heavenly home. That number again, 336-3908.
Don't forget where God brought you from. You guys know where you come from, right? You all like sheep like me. We're all like sheep going astray. And everyone else turned to do everything our own way. But aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus took my junk, took your junk, took my stuff and your things and laid them on the cross?
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 12, verses 6 through 14. We're going to pick up with Pastor Bernard's discussion on verse 7 of our passage. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of the message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today, Part 2.
And verse 7, balances of deceit is in their hand, and they love to oppress. Israel was taking great pleasure and pride in taking advantage of people. Again, in our current context, there are a lot of people in certain professions that take pleasure and pride for taking advantage of people. You know, again, those that practice law and the politicians and the pastors, be careful. There are a lot of them that take great pride that you keep putting your $9.99, your $10, your money in, and so they can have their empires. Take great pleasure and pride. And not only that, they love to oppress. To oppress somebody is bad enough, but to enjoy it? A conscience like that, with all due respect, a conscience that enjoys oppressing people is a conscience that I believe has been wiped away by the enemy. A conscience that's wiped from what is right from the wicked one. Has no sensitivity whatsoever. This conscience will not check itself, will not call itself on its sin. This kind of conscience, again, is captured. Because if this conscience had any kind of conviction, then God says, I wouldn't have given you a charge. I wouldn't have charged you, Israel, if you had the right conscience. However, you do not. Because if I got the right kind of conscience, I would not love oppressing people. I would not love my sin. I would loathe my sin. But when you got a conscience like that, you've canceled out all biblical convictions. You love to oppress the people and take advantage of them with this balance thing. Now, in the Old Testament, all through the Bible is very clear, and God is very strong on his position about unfair balances. The Old Testament consistently speaks about using scales that was rigged up to take advantage of people. Just write the references down for homework. Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. Everything I say, I want you to know it's biblical. Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. God says in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, thou shalt not have in your house divers measures or different types, and great and small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shall you have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Verse 16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously or an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Do you think God had an attitude or a certain disposition about cheaters, the extortionists? He said, I want to give you prosperity, and if you want your days to be long, make sure that you're being fair. Make sure that you're being equitable. Make sure that you're not cheating people. Again, Proverbs 11:1. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Strong language. Abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Come on, Mr. Insurance Man, be fair. Hospitals, be fair. Bankers, be fair. If I'm going to go buy me a car because my car is broken down, let's work a deal, but be fair. So I'm not trying to personalize, I'm just letting you know. God doesn't like false balances. Micah 6, verses 11 and 12. Micah 6, verses 11 and 12, as we continue this attitude, this indictment, and also this, again, the judgment for having a unfair balance. Micah 6, verses 11 and 12, the Bible reads, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and a tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Again, Ephraim is charged with deceitful trade. Ephraim is acting like the Canaanite. Ephraim, God says, I've given you prosperity. I've given you blessings. I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey. Why is it that you got to cheat people? How much is enough? God bless you, but he's never encouraged you to exact money from people that they can't afford. God's never encouraged you to take advantage of people. Again, that word merchant is Canaanite because the Canaanites had a reputation. In that day, they were merchants and they got a lot of their money dishonestly. They were well-known merchants and traders in that day. And God is saying, you're just as corrupt as these Canaanites. Verse 8, Ephraim said, in my cheatings, in my dealings, I have become rich. That's nothing to brag about. Ephraim said, I become rich. I have found me out substance in my own labors. They shall find no iniquity in me. Translate, I ain't did nothing wrong. Everybody's doing it. I'm just an entrepreneur. This is how you operate. This is how we roll. This is how we make money. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Surely I become rich. Hosea, again, he's prophesying in a time when Israel is prosperous. They enjoy great prosperity, but spiritually speaking, they're impoverished. Here's what I find interesting. You know how we get. When money's good, you got money in the bank. Sometimes when we have what we call a strong foundation, and we should be good stewards, and we should have a good financial base. But be careful when you're establishing a financial base. It doesn't consume you, that's what you're occupied with on a regular basis. You know, when we get money in the bank, sometimes it's hard for people to believe that society is descending into depravity. Sometimes when we got money, we fail to realize that society is sinking in the depths of depravity, and the culture is going to get crushed by a catastrophic wave that washes away all the foundations that we need in order to be a sound and a strong and a great nation. We must be careful. Money can lead you astray if you fix your eyes on it and trust it. Second half of verse 8. Nothing. I've done nothing wrong. Listen to this braggart. Listen to the conceit. Ephraim stands guilty as charged. You would think that he would bring contrition. You would think that he said, hey, I plead. I'm begging mercy on the court of God. Have mercy on me, God. You would think that there'll be Lord, I take personal ownership. I'm embracing ownership of my sin, of my extortion, cheating people like this, mistreating people. God, I own it. Please have mercy on me. You would think that's how they would respond to God. But listen what we hear. What is it that we hear out of their hearts? What do we hear, preacher? Well, not contrition. Not contrition at all. I've done nothing wrong. I haven't cheated anybody. With an incorrigible heart, they sit there in front of Almighty God and say, what's your problem, God? I've done nothing. Why are you pressing me? Don't you have something else to do? God, what? I'm innocent. I am innocent. Self-righteous. I'm innocent. It was not your neighbor that brought these charges. It was not another people group that brought these charges against you. It was God Almighty. So what are you saying, Israel? Do you know what they're saying? God, you're wrong. Matter of fact, you are lying. I've done these things. Be careful, body of Christ, before you call God out and say, I've done nothing. Someone's brought you a scripture to visit a sin in your life, or visit an error in your life, and you look at them with your smug face and say, you know who I am? I haven't done anything wrong. Pride. Parked in pride. Instead of taking ownership, they deny any wrongdoing. Any wrongdoing. You see, church, this is consistent with what I call a carnal heart. When a person has a carnal, a fleshly heart, when you catch it by a carnal, a fleshly heart, guess what? Any opinion about sin, any position about sin, you call it good. You always have a good opinion of where you are. You always make excuses of where you are. You always justify of where you are. Well, you know what God said about your giving. You know what God said about your church attendance. You know what God said about you. Why are you being the sin police, Pastor? I'm not being the sin police. I'm telling you, be careful. Don't drink the carnal Kool-Aid. It flows a lot. When you do something wrong, take ownership, confess it. Because here's the beauty of God. I've been waiting for you to get there. I just wanted you to confess your sins because I'm faithful and just. I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Be honest with me. Just be honest. Verses 9 now. Lord says, okay, since you're bragging and you're not taking ownership for anything, it's time for some humble pie. Verse 9. And I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in the tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I love how that verse opens up because here's what happens. Since you forgot who I am, let me reintroduce myself. I am the Lord your God, not your money. Not these false idols. Don't you remember, Israel? Who did your money get you out of Egypt? Did your money part the Red Sea for you? Did your money protect you and lead you to the promised land? And too often, we think it's our money, and we think it's our education, we think it's our church experience, but let me tell you, it's only God that leads us to the promised land. God is not going to overlook such blatant disobedience and ingratitude. I will make you dwell and live in tents again. So you got your nice 10,000 square foot home. You got your nice 5,000 square foot home. You got your nice home wherever it is. God says, I'm going to reduce you back to the tents. Teach you some humility again. That's right. Uh-oh. And the grace and the mercy of God gave them time at the time at the time again to repent. Here they are standing in the courtroom. I did nothing wrong, God. I'm going to take you back. Don't you remember? Look at it for homework. The Feast of Tabernacles, the booths that the Israelites, when they travel in the wilderness, after you can see in Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus 23, verses 33 to 43. You're going to realize, since you forgot, here's what I noticed about God. Sometimes when you get too full of yourself, and you think you say to your heart, be at rest, I'm okay. All of a sudden, you're back in the desert. God, how did I get here? Here's what we say. Why did you bring me here, God? I did nothing wrong. Why did you do this to me? God, excuse me? I didn't do that. You brought yourself there. I tried to appeal to you on time and time again, but I tried to knock on your heart. You wouldn't do nothing. You wouldn't even respond. What you did was justify yourself. And the prophet Hosea is saying this judgment is guaranteed because it comes from the prophet of God. And when the prophet of God speaks, because if you're a false prophet, they stone you. So we know Hosea was not a false prophet. And so he said, this is going to happen. I will humble you because you refuse to listen. As my mama used to tell me many, many years ago, maybe you've heard this expression, a hard head and a hard heart set you up for a soft behind. Maybe y'all didn't have that in your house, but I had it in my house. I think I still remember some of that. Anyway, that's another message. All right, verse 10. I've spoken through the prophets, and I've multiplied with visions, and I used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. These prophets were what we call seers. They were able to be God's spokesperson. They revealed the purposes of God. They revealed the will of God. God used the prophets to lead them like Moses. God used the prophet to continue to lead them to the promised land, to police the city. God says, I gave you pastors to preach in your life, and guess what you guys doing? You don't even go to church. You don't even read your Bible. You reject what the pastor's saying, and you find another church to see a pastor who's going to tell you what you want to hear. God has brought people in your life, church. God brings people in our life to bring us in a position of repentance, and we need to listen. No matter how unkind we may interpret it to be, or judgmental we may interpret, but when God has a word, and preachers in America need to stop being concerned about who's sitting in the seat and can they maintain the multi-million dollar budgets, they need to be concerned with preaching the word of God. And I won't, don't put out there, pastors hating. I'm not hating. I'm just telling you the truth. When God sent these prophets, they were supposed to listen because they were the one that was qualified and sanctioned to speak as God's spokesperson. If you need a reference, look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, he said, and he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Again, God will be the one that will speak. God will be the one that will lead the people through the prophet. And God says, no excuses. I've given you multiple of visions. Multiple visions. I multiplied. I didn't speak not once. I didn't speak not twice. I poured all these visions in you, and you still would not hear. You still would not regard. You still would not repent. So what did you do to the prophets? You demonstrated how much you appreciate the man of God by stoning them and persecuting them. Here's what I know today in today's current context. If a pastor is truly preaching the word of God, he's not going to have a lot of friends in high places, if you know what I'm talking about. He's not going to be welcome to be the guest speaker in certain events. They're already trying to steal his tax exempt and everything else that goes with that. When a preacher is teaching the word of God in this culture, expect persecution. Expect persecution. And verse 11, he said, there's sin in Gilead. I'm sick of your church, this false church. You're serving me and worshiping me in emptiness. You are vain. Even though you're sacrificing animal after animal, they make God sick. He said, I had enough of your altars. And I'm going to break all your altars down, all your buildings down, all these idols. I'm going to turn them into little stones out in the field. You see, in this context, pagan altars was built up high, and they towered. So they did their best. They built an altar to a pagan deity. What they wanted to do was to project greatness and project strength. So that's why they built these nice, huge, tall on the mountains, on the hilltops, these huge structures that pointed to a pagan deity. God says, I'm breaking it down. I break down all your idols. I break down all your altars. Not only I believe God is saying from a physical standpoint, which is the context of the passage, I think there's also an application that we need to examine what have we erected in our own hearts. If you have erected an idol in your heart, your conceit, your arrogance, your pride, your covetousness, even if you are an angry person or whatever that disquieting emotion that you are always dominate, and for 20, 15, 10 years, you still have this, say, you're still communicating this statement. Well, I'm still praying, Pastor. I'm praying on that one. 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 With all due respect, when will you repent? Because God is tired of you praying on that. How could you say that, Pastor? Because he's already showed you what you need to do. So what are you praying about? What you need to execute and get done? Verses 12 through 14, as we close this tough chapter, a reproach will return. A reproach will return. A judgment, a reproach will return upon Ephraim. Verses 12 through 14. And Jacob fled in the country of Syria, and Israel served a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return to him. In verse 12, God points Israel back to the good days to remind them how good they had it. In the past goodness, God recalls going back to Jacob's experience. Remember, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had the 12. Is that right? So he said, I remember when I made you. And you were naked, and you were destitute, and you were hungry, and you were dirty, and I cleaned you, and I developed you, and made you, even though you were small upon all the nations of the earth, yet I made you Israel forever. Going back to explain the humble beginnings. The famous patriarch, he was humble. Remember, Jacob had to serve the Egyptians. You know, he had to serve, and he had to serve to get his wife. Brother worked a long time, 14 years or more. He worked a long time for those women. I think he was in love. What we do for love, amen. Let's correct that. What we do for the love of God, is there anything we can't do for him? God reflects it. Again, going back to the history, you had nothing, you were nobody. I saved you, and even when you got to Egypt, I sent 10 plagues, I did wonders and signs, and I delivered you from the rage of Pharaoh when you were going through the Red Sea. I carried you, I fed you manna out there in the desert, I took care of you like you're my very own. However, you forgot. If you don't mind, everybody say, don't forget.
Don't forget.
Don't forget. Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget where God brought you from. You guys know where you come from, right? You all like sheep like me. We're all like sheep going astray. And everyone else turned to do everything our own way. But aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus took my junk, took your junk, took my stuff and your things and laid them on the cross? Remember, Isaiah said, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Israel forgot. They forgot where they came from. And because they forgot, they had provoked the Lord to anger. And Hosea talks about the provocation. You broke all the commandments I gave you, serving these different gods and these different deities and establishing these foreign alliances. And you forgot that it was I that gave you wealth and power. I give the power so you can go get wealth, and you forgot. So in response to their disobedience, in response to their idolatry, in their response, God says, I'm not going to give you some forgiveness this time. I'm going to help you reap what you sow. I'm going to leave this nation in its guilty state, and I will judge her for her wickedness. Let me ask you something, body of Christ. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Have you taken him for granted? Have you assumed that your livelihood and your sustenance and who you are as an individual, did you think that you achieved that independent from God? No way. Let's not forget what God has done for us. Let us not align ourselves with the voices of the culture and the world. We are married to God. You are married to God. You belong to him. Make him first. Make him first in everything. And would you do me this, please? Would you do me this blessing and this favor? When God places his finger on something and it hurts, please don't say to God, I did nothing wrong. Don't say, I'm innocent. Be broken. Because the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's a bad place to be out of fellowship with God. I can't sleep. I don't want to eat. Everything is negative. I got these dirty lenses on, and I can't see life accurately. And there's a reason for that. Because you're out of fellowship with God. So the call is still for you as it was for Israel. Return. Come home. Repent. Embrace him again. Make him your Lord and your God.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today, Part 2. In today's message, Pastor Bernard encouraged us to remember all that God has done for us. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can enjoy a right relationship with God. God, as our eternal Father, should enjoy the rights to our loyalty. Any competition to our commitment with him must be eliminated. Be absolutely persuaded to put him first over everything. To learn more about a right relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We would love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.